You felt this dark cloud of guilt hanging over you. You felt weighed down, and all you could think of to pray to God was, "Dear Lord, just forgive me for all the things I've done and that I shouldn't have done. Forgive me for the things I left undone. Lord, just forgive me for all the bad things I've done in my life." Anybody ever pray a prayer like that? You just you feel guilty. You're not sure why. You're not sure what specific thing you need to confess. Sometimes that's a good prayer. I think that's a good prayer sometimes. But sometimes those prayers, types of prayers, can be motivated by the enemy, whom the Bible says is the accuser of the enemy of God's people. Satan, who is, how many know Satan is the Christian's enemy? We've established that. And our enemy will always lead us, you and me, into false guilt. False guilt. So the question becomes, well, how do we tell the difference? How do we tell the difference between real guilt and false guilt? Or put it another way, what does God tell us about ourselves? And how does He do that? What does He tell us about ourselves? What does He tell us about our relationships? What does He tell us about our faith? And in what ways does He do that? Well, this morning, we're gonna focus on yet another week of our relationship with God and this idea of communicating with God. And we've established, haven't we, that God speaks. God speaks today. How many believe that? God speaks. And God is speaking to you and me all the time. And we've been also learning more about how to know His voice better. And we've learned what keeps us also from listening to the messages that He's sending our way. And so hopefully we're going to learn just a little bit more today, a little bit more about what it means for God to speak to us, what it means for us to really listen to what He says. So let's just pray. God, we just thank You that You are alive and well, and that You want to speak to our lives. You want to, Lord, speak good things into our lives. We just pray, God, that today, Lord, that You would just soften our hearts, allow us to receive everything, God, that You want for us. Lord, that You would encourage our hearts today. Let us feel great encouragement today. Let us know, God, that You're for us and not against us. You're for us, Lord, and not against us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, we know God is speaking to us when we experience conviction. Conviction. You know, there's a scripture in John chapter 16. You can turn there if you'd like, John 16. It's found in John 16, verses 7. Through 11, and it reads this way, John 16, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away." Is this familiar to some? "Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because you do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to us. He promised it to His disciples. He promises it to us. And He says one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is that the believer's life is brought under conviction. The Holy Spirit brings conviction to our lives. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in us and He is directing our lives, if He's empowering our lives, that promise will be fulfilled. He will convict you of your sin. How many know? Well, I know that. I've experienced that. Yeah. And most of us have experienced the conviction of God in our lives. Most of us have. But we shouldn't view it as negative. Amen? Because when He does, what he's doing is assuring us that we belong to God. We belong to God. Now, most of you would agree that at some point, any loving father will have to deal with the behavior of his children when they do wrong. True? It's no different with God the Father and the way that he relates to us as his sons and daughters, as his children. He deals with our behavior for a number of reasons. First of all, he loves us, right? He loves us. But those aren't the only reasons, right? He deals with the things in our lives because, and this three-letter word, we don't like to, people are like, why do we have to talk about that word today? Sin, right? Because sin hurts us, right? Sin hurts us, and it hurts other people. And secondly, God is holy. God is righteous. We know this to be true. God is pure. God is perfect. And so he can't tolerate sin. And all sin offends God. And so he deals with it accordingly. And the third thing is our sin blocks the fellowship that we have, right, with God. We talked about this barrier. Sometimes there are barriers that can take place that are erected between us and God. And it has to do with the things that are in our lives. And so conviction of sin, it's not a popular subject, but we need to know that all Scripture and the experience of Christians throughout the ages testify that God takes action directly and personally with our lives, with people's lives. He takes action directly and personally with our lives. First of all, let's think about this. Let's look through the Scriptures. Let's just kind of just zip through the Scriptures just a little bit. God dealt directly with a particular people in the nation of Israel when they went against God's commands. He dealt directly and personally with the people in Israel. God dealt personally and directly with David when he egregiously sinned against Bathsheba, against Bathsheba's husband, and against God himself. God dealt with David personally and directly. God dealt personally and directly with Ananias and Sapphira with their behavior and their pretense. We'll talk about what that means in just a minute, pretense. But God dealt directly and personally with Ananias and Sapphira. It didn't go so well for them. God dealt directly with Paul, didn't he? Before he was Paul, his name was Saul, on the road before his conversion. And he spoke to him directly about his attacks against the people of Jesus, and which were essence attacks on him, weren't they? So God deals directly and personally with our lives. And when God speaks to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit, it's often in four personal and direct areas. And I know a lot of you are note takers. You can write these down. Well, the first thing is God reveals more of who he is. That's the way that God deals with us personally and directly. He reveals his character to us. How many have had that happen in your life? The character of love, the character of grace, or the character of power, maybe faithfulness. God's faithfulness was revealed more to you, or God's magnificence was revealed to you. God's magnificence. He reveals his character. God breathes healing into our aches, doesn't he, and into our emptiness. Our emotional emptiness, our heart emptiness. He breathes healing in there. That's God's comforting word. So we have his character, and God deals with us personally, directly with his comforting word. And God lets us know we're on the right track, doesn't he? How many have ever been on the wrong track, and God says, this way, right? We got to get back on the right track. That's God's word of confirmation. Now you're on the right track. Or maybe your things are going well in your life, and God just confirms, something to you in your heart. Yeah, you're doing the right thing. You're on the right track. You're on the right path. You need to stay on this path. It's a word of confirmation. And then God points out where we're going wrong, and when we need to yield and confess, and we need to turn from something. And that's his word of conviction. And so he deals with each one of us personally and directly. And he speaks about his character. He speaks comfort to us. He gives us words of confirmation. And he speaks also words of conviction into our lives. And these are the four personal and direct ways that God speaks to you and me as his followers. But I want to focus a little more on this last one today. I know you're excited about it. Conviction. What is it? Let me just give you several definitions this morning. God's word of conviction is what prompts change. It's that twinge of soul pain that causes us to confess and want forgiveness from God. You ever felt that pain in your soul? And you knew you needed to confess something in your life. God's word of conviction to us motivates us to want to see more of God's character, more of his power, more of maybe spirit-inspired service in our lives. He convicts us we need to be serving more, or we need to really understand his power more. And so he comes to us with this word of conviction in our lives. God, the conviction of God is the assurance that we are his, that he's working in our lives, that he hasn't given up on us. And also conviction through the Holy Spirit is God's chosen way to work in us, in our lives. It's not up to me and you to simply get grit through life and try to transform ourselves. You know how that goes, right? You try to change yourself, and you work and you work and you work and you grit your teeth, and it just doesn't quite get there. In fact, 1 Thessalonians says, that may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Who sets us apart? Who changes us? Who cleanses us? Who empowers us? It's God. And he says, may your whole spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he who calls you is faithful. And then he says, and he will surely do it. All right? And so we have that promise in our lives. Now, a common question of many is this. How do we tell whether we're experiencing God's conviction or the enemy's condemnation? How do we tell? How do we tell whether we're experiencing God's convicting word or the word of condemnation coming from the enemy? How do we know that? Well, let me give you several distinctions this morning that I think that will help us all. The first thing is this. God's conviction is definite and specific. The Lord tells me exactly what I've done. The Lord will tell you exactly what you've done. But the condemnation of the enemy is indefinite. It's vague. I feel guilty, but I cannot identify any specific thing that I've done that would offend God or hurt other people. I can't put my finger on it. And so you just feel this vague guilt. That's the enemy heaping upon you guilt and condemnation. God will always deal with you directly and specifically about what's going on in your life. The second thing is God's conviction is recognizable. It's something unconfessed and unforgiven that I recognize usually in my immediate past, right? Usually it's something maybe this morning or yesterday or that week that maybe you said something that this was really just really caustic and harmful and malicious to somebody. Maybe you just really just obeyed what God was leading you to do in a moment. And so it's something really fairly immediate that you know, you recognize, I really need to confess this to God. But the enemy's condemnation is imaginary. I have a hard time putting my finger on something specific or some specific way that I've offended God. Or maybe this, guilt just keeps revisiting me over something in the past that I've already taken care of with God. How many have that happen? Right? You ask God for forgiveness, right? And then it's like 6 months later, you feel guilty again. It's like, oh man, I remember that when I did that. that was a terrible thing that I did or said. I feel so badly about that. But you've already reconciled that with God and asked for his forgiveness. You know that that's the enemy and not God. Not God. And then the third thing is this, that God's conviction provides a definite solution. The Holy Spirit tells me how to take care of my sin. And when I obey, I get relief from that soul pain guilt. But the enemy's condemnation usually has no solution. And if any solution is offered, it's irrational, might be unscriptural, and our soul pain intensifies. We simply feel worse about our lives. And if that's where you're at, you know that it's probably the enemy talking to you and not God. So I want to be clear, if you're a Christian today, as one of his children, your heavenly Father will tell you what you have done and how you must correct it. That is genuine conviction. But I want to talk about something this morning that's one of the biggest things that blocks God's voice of conviction in our lives. And it's a thing called pretense. Pretense. Not a word we use a lot. Pretense. It's a spiritual snare that we all need to be aware of. It's the snare of pretense. Now, I imagine, I don't know about you, I like to watch movies. Some of you are movie watchers. You know, I imagine those old army traps, right, where the soldier's walking through the jungle and trips some line and gets it caught inside this rope trap and this is just dangling in the air, right, from some tree limb. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? You ever seen that happen? Yeah, yeah. And that's what I imagine when I imagine this snare of pretense. Pretense is when we're caught up into giving excessive outward false displays, feigning a quality you don't have, portraying a character you don't possess. Pretense. And God has a lot to say about this kind of behavior. Isaiah 29 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only rules taught by man. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say of the potter, he knows nothing? And so God, he speaks so much about this snare of pretense. And pretense shows up in so many different ways. By Christians who, number one, who pretend to be right with God when they're not. That's the biggest thing. Christians who pretend to be right with God when they're not. When they're not. They hope to impress others with their professions. You know this drill. How you doing? Praise God, I'm doing fine. Right? I don't need any help. Everything in my life is good. I've got the victory. There's one. I'm blessed. I'm miserable, but I'll tell you I'm blessed. I'm depressed, but I'm blessed. I'm anxious, but I'm blessed. I'm angry, but I'm blessed. I'm sad. I'm grieving. I'm hurting. Boy, I'm blessed today. I'm blessed. Right? It's pretense. It's pretending to be right with God. It's pretending things are okay with you when they're not. And 2 Corinthians talks about this freedom of the Holy Spirit that provides us, you know, we are provided with when we come to faith in Jesus. All pretense and veils and masks are to be taken away when we come to know Jesus. We come to faith in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's freedom. And we with who unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. An unveiled spirit, an unveiled heart is an honest heart. Amen? An unveiled heart or an honest heart, that's the path that God wants us to take to really experience true freedom in our lives, true change in our lives, true character transformation in our lives. The path to freedom is always honesty, an honest heart, being honest with ourselves and being honest with God. Being honest with ourselves, being honest with others, and being honest with God. It all takes that kind of honesty to really experience freedom and really experience true life change, the change that God wants to bring to our lives. Amen? That's it. Yeah. And so it's the way we can actually experience the new person that we are in Christ. Having an honest heart, an unveiled heart, where we're not masking anything. So, a couple practical things for you. Two practical things to do to keep you from dangling in the air spiritually, in that rope trap, right? Two things you can do. One, we need to be honest in prayer. Tell God how you are, really, how you are. Tell God how you feel and ask Him for help. Don't pretend He knows nothing. He sees nothing. Just tell Him how you're feeling. Tell Him how you're doing. Ask Him for the help that you need. Be honest with God. And secondly, when God sends people into your life to help you, be honest with them. Take off your mask. Be honest with other people as well. And doing both things will help you grow in your faith. Failing to do those things stunts your relationship with God. But doing those things will help you grow in your faith. And so, this whole thing about pretense is so important, and we just need to take the veil off. Take the mask off. Take those veils, take those things that are keeping us from really being honest in our lives. Now, secondly, and we'll come back to that in just a minute, but pretense thing. But secondly, we recognize God is speaking to us by what He says to us about our self-image. Now, the majority of us have had other people make pronouncements over us that were damaging. Most of us have had these pronouncements made over our lives. Things have been said to us that have been severely damaging. They've damaged our psyche. They've damaged our souls. Our very souls. Labels have been placed on us that we have been unable to shake our entire lives. And it cripples our spiritual self-image. And here's some of them. You're no good. Some of you heard those. You've heard that pronouncement. You'll never amount to anything. You're a failure. You're a nobody. You don't have anything to offer. There are others way more intelligent than you, way more competent than you. You are less than others. You don't measure up to others. You'll never achieve as much as others. You'll never be as successful as others. And you've heard some of those kinds of pronouncements, those things have been spoken to you directly. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a counselor. Someone may have made that pronouncement over your life or something similar. And it's something that you have not been able to shake for 30, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. It's with you. It's in you. It affects the way you relate to God. It affects the way you relate to people. It just affects you. Now, I've shared this on a few occasions. I think that when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, I was somehow dubbed the left-handed dummy. People actually addressed me as such. That's the way, they didn't call me by name. They called me the left-handed dummy. And from that moment on, that message was like a ticker tape running constantly deep within my soul. That's really what I thought about myself. And this pronouncement, that it hindered my life in ways that I didn't even realize, in ways that I didn't even really know about until about 8 or 9 years ago. And you know what happened? That's when I became honest with myself. That's when I became honest with God. And I realized that I was buying into the enemy's lies. And then I realized what was true. What was true? I was valuable to God. He had gifted me with some unique gifts. And I have something to offer to people. I'm not a failure. I'm not a nobody. I'm not dumb. And the other thing that I realized is that I should stop with the false humility statements. Like, well, I'm not that good. I'm not that great. I'm not that smart. I'm not that talented. You know, the whole shrug your shoulder. Eh. I'm not that gifted. I'm not that good. Thanks for saying that. But, eh. False humility. And I want to say this morning that the Lord wants to build maturity in both our God image and our self-image. Our God image and our self-image. Well, what do I mean by that? When we talk about our God image, we're talking about the way God feels about you and me. The way that God feels about you. God says, and let's just talk about that for a moment. Because that's what's in my notes. I'm just kidding. God says we are valuable to Him. Right? Peter says to us in his letters, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by man, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You also, like a gem, are valuable to God. That's what the Bible says. You're valuable to God. And some of you don't feel valuable to God at all. In fact, some of you think, I'm not sure God really thinks that about me. But that's exactly the way God thinks and feels about you. You are valuable to Him. Secondly, God says we are dearly loved. We're dearly loved. Colossians says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and what? Dearly loved. God loves you. And then, you know, we talk about all that. You know, I can't even begin to describe the enormity of God's love for you and me. It's indescribable. But we're dearly loved by God. You are dearly loved by God. That's how God feels about you. We're His workmanship. You know that? You know, He's the one that created us, and He has things created for us to do, and we're not just to sit around and take up space on the earth. That there's a purpose in our lives, and we're to fall into line in that purpose and get involved with that and participate with what God's doing in that. And so we're His workmanship. And then we are the apple. Psalm 17 says we are the apple of God's eye. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says about you, what God says about you. You are the apple of God's eye. I don't know what that sounds like, you're pretty important, right? You're the apple of God's eye. You're treasured. In fact, he says that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. God tells me that I am his treasured possession. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. I am God's treasured possession. Just say it. Some of you need to say that every day this week because you don't believe it. I am God's treasured possession. Peter again, he calls us God's special possession that we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We are God's special possession. Then he says in Romans 15, we are accepted. How many like to be accepted? Okay, let me just say this. Who likes to be rejected? Nobody. We are accepted, which is it's always the question of many Christians, does God accept me? Does God accept me? But Romans 15, chapter 15 says to us, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another just as Christ, what? Accepted you. He accepted you. And so many struggle. So many struggle with God loving them. So many struggle with God treasuring them. So many struggle with God accepting them. So many struggle with God placing great value on them. That's not their image of God. That's not what they think God is all about. And so I want to say this morning, just getting ready to finish up here. We so desperately need the proper God image in our lives. We so desperately need to know what God really thinks and feels about us. Because without it, our lives are hampered, stilted. They're stilted. And so we need to know what God believes about our lives. And it's all there in the scriptures that he tells us. But I want to finish with this morning. Isn't it true that when people care about each other deeply, they express how they feel about each other, right? Isn't that true? If you care about someone, you're going to express how you feel about them. And so I want to tell you that the Lord is constantly talking to us about how he feels about us. And when we listen to what he says, we'll never walk away with a bad self-image. Hear me. We'll never walk away discouraged. God is not about giving us a bad self-image. So whenever he speaks to you, he's always building you up, right? He's encouraging you. He's strengthening you. He's speaking affirming words to you, accepting words to you. He's directing your life with words. He's calling you into things, into places of service, into activity, to be an ambassador for him. He's all the time doing things to build you up and not tear you down. And some of us really need to hear that today. And so let me just close with this. You can recognize God's voice by the explicit way that he talks to you about your sins. And you can recognize God's voice by the value that he places on you when he's talking about your worth as a person. He says, you are valuable. You are treasured. You are loved. You are accepted. Hear the word of the Lord today. Hear God speaking those words. That's what he's speaking over your life. That's what he's speaking over my life. You're loved. You're accepted. You're valuable. You're cherished. You're treasured. You're the apple of his eye. Amen? Let's stand together. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and minister to each one of us individually, personally, and directly. Where you're standing, I'm going to invite you to ask the Lord a question. Just silently, quietly ask the Lord a question. God, what are you personally and explicitly saying to me about my life? What do I need to settle up with you, God, about something in my immediate past? What do I need to settle up with you? Take a moment to hear what he might be saying to you. If you know exactly what God is saying to you about that one thing, I just ask that you just put your hand up and put it back down. Just acknowledge, I know. I heard him speaking. I know what it is. I know what it, yeah? Yeah? I know what it is. Thank you for sharing it with me, Lord. I confess it. Forgive me. Now, I just want you to, where you're standing, ask God, where have I been pretending? This is your time. This is your moment with God right now. Where have I been pretending, God? Now, I'm going to invite you to be a little courageous here. And some of you have been really awakened to how God feels about you. And you need to exchange those pronouncements that have been made over you, those negative pronouncements. Exchange them for true words from God. And you know who you are. You know that you've been living under those pronouncements. It's been just affecting your life in deep ways. But you've been awakened to the fact that God he's crazy about you. He loves you, accepts you. He's not going to speak a negative pronouncement over your life. And if that's you, if you know that you need to exchange those pronouncements for really true words from God, I just invite you to come up to the communion tables on my right or my left, and we'll have some people to pray with you. But you know that you need to exchange those negative pronouncements. Don't be timid. Just go ahead and come up, and we'll pray with you. Yeah, right. You know it. You lived under it. You have lived under those pronouncements. You believe that God's against you, not for you. Believe that he hasn't accepted you. You believe that he hasn't really loved you. He loves others more than you. You believed all those lies, and you want to come out from underneath those, and you want to really hear true words from God. I just invite you. I just invite you to come to those communion tables right now. Just be courageous. Don't be timid. You know who you are. Yes, Lord. I'm not stupid. I'm not a failure. I'm not dumb. I'm not wanted. I'm not less than. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just going to have some others that pray just to come up to the tables right now. Just others who pray, just come up to the tables. And we're going to go ahead and dismiss, but if you really need to, if you know that you need to exchange some of those negative pronouncements for true words from the Lord, you need to hear the true word of the Lord over your life, I just invite you to come to those tables. Even after we dismiss, I invite you to come to these tables, and we'll pray with you and encourage you. Amen. But God, we just thank you. Thank you that you love us. You accept us. You're for us. You're not against us. You cherish us. You treasure us. And God, we want to believe all those things, God, that are true. And we want to have a right God image. And help us with the deep pain that we have in our souls from those pronouncements. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed.